How many of you guys remember Wayne's lesson about worrying? It was about a month ago. All right. How many people thought that lesson was very relevant? I just got done with my sixth semester of college, I think. Fourth. Feels like six. And man, I was like right when he gave that sermon, I was in the middle of worrying, and it was just very convicting. And as I was thinking of all the things that may give me stress in my life, school, work, the combination of both, I just realized like there is that stuff in my life, but like Wayne said, it's unfruitful, it's destructive, and it causes us to not think about what's important. And in those times of stress, as I was thinking, I just thought, wow, all I need is some peace. All I need is some, we say, peace and quiet. And that's what I want to talk about today. And there is lots of definitions of peace in the world. We've got the first two symbols are pretty popular. The first one with the circle, that actually came from the British Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament in 1958. And it's supposed to be a person standing with the arms down in disbelief of, like, why are we doing all this war and we want peace. And then the two fingers up is the V sign. And it was popular during the Vietnam War as a symbol of peace. And then, it may be hard to see, but we have President Trump and the leader of North Korea signing an agreement of peace. So these are all kind of things that people of the world might think of as peace. But that's not necessarily the peace that we're talking about in our lives that cause us to put away worry. Vine's Dictionary just defines peace as completeness and welfare and health. And in Numbers 6, 22 through 26, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And this phrase of lifting up his countenance upon you to give you peace and his face shining upon you is a feeling of well-being and completeness. And it's to be like your whole body is just at peace. It is all is well because of the Lord. And in Psalms 4, 6 through 8, we could see a similar meaning. "There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in our heart than when they have their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." So this peace is a joy that is greater than anything, and the light from the Lord is shining upon them. And so again, it's a feeling of completeness from God, and Psalms of safety, and the ability to just sleep and know that all is well. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So again, our whole spirit and our soul and body is sanctified and from this peace from God. So now that we've established what peace is, differing from what the world may think of what peace is, now we can ask ourselves, where is this peace? And where does it come from? In Romans 3, when Paul is talking about the unrighteousness of people and the sin that we all carry and that oppresses us, he says, he's quoting a Psalms, and he says, "In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known." So he says there is a way of peace. And so how do we come to this way of peace? Where can we go to get this peace when we are worrying or when we are in sin? Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 16:33, this verse is kind of the, if you took one verse away from this sermon, this would be the one. It says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus's disciples were worrying about where he was going to be when he left them. But he said they would have peace because he has overcome the world. And the tribulation that we face every day from jobs or from school or whatever, it is going to be overcome, and that is because of Jesus. Then in Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. And from him, he established a government, it says, and of peace. That will have no end. So this peace that he brought will never end. So today we can have that peace. And in Luke 1, verses 76-79, as Zechariah is prophesying, it says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So as John the Baptist is being described of his purpose, it says he will guide their feet to a way of peace. And it says he will be the prophet of the Most High to come before the Lord. And if he's making that way of peace, it is going to be, the way of peace is Jesus. And many times it uses the words the gospel of peace. We see this in Romans 10:15, when it's talking about going and spreading the word. Says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And then in Acts 10:36, if you want to turn there, I'll read a section of that. It says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and hearing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." So when Peter was preaching to him, Luke says that he was preaching good news of peace, and then describes what Peter is preaching as the gospel. So the gospel of good news is synonymous with the gospel of peace because of what Jesus did. And in that last verse of that reading, in verse 43, we see that peace, that whoever believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. And how peaceful that is, that that tribulation of sin, or in a case of worrying and stress and what that can do, that Jesus will forgive those sins if we believe. So if we have this peace, or if there is this peace, then what does it mean to us? In Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." So by his grace, we may be filled with peace, joy, and hope in believing. And this peace that he's offered to us, I've said it's everlasting, and we just can keep abounding in it. So it's never going to go away. So when we're worrying about whatever, it's always going to be there for us to meditate on and to think about the gospel and how it has affected us. And now I want to talk about what that peace can do for us. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, this is kind of the verse that Wayne had in his lesson, and it seems to be talked a lot about, especially in college, because of anxiety or anxious. It's kind of like a hot word in college. But it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, as humans, we often, our understanding is, if I don't do this, this is going to happen. If I do this, this is not going to happen. And we just confuse our lives and make it so much harder on ourselves. And it can hurt our hearts, and it'll definitely cause our minds to become distracted. But God says to give everything like that by prayer, and let your request be made known to God. In many verses, it talks about seeking peace, and this is how we can do that, by praying and letting God, the peace of God, surpass all of our understanding. And then in James 3:18, it says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown by peace, by those who make peace." So, and this verse is contrasted with in chapter 1, verse 20. It says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So we have the anger of man and peacemakers, and what is harvested because of that. And from anger, I don't know about you guys, but when things build up on me, that's when usually I'm a pretty chill person, but when just things start building up from school, and then my coworkers at work kind of make me mad, and things just don't go my way, and it just builds up, and anger can start to happen. And that is not how we produce righteousness, but is instead by being in peace and making peace and having that state of mind by praying to God and letting him give you his peace, that we can produce righteousness and good behavior. In John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And from this verse, we see Jesus giving peace, but not as the world gives, because Jesus has conquered the world. And because of this, our hearts don't have to be troubled or afraid. And it's easy to let the world affect our minds and our hearts, to let it dictate the decisions we make. Because the world is hard, it seems like we may make selfish decisions to support ourselves. But God says, or Jesus says, the peace he's going to give to you, your hearts don't have to be troubled. And in Ephesians 4, it says, in verse 3, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And right after this, it talks about the oneness in Spirit and the Father and all of that. So the unity of that is because of the bond of peace, because of that, the gospel of peace. And we, just like today, we have a unity here because of Jesus and because of that peace that we all share. And all of us may have different struggles in today's world, but it's awesome that we all have one solution and that we can all share in the same peace. Then in 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17, it says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this is to you who are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Have a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So in verse 11, it says, let him seek peace and pursue it. And then from this peace that we pursue, we can endure hardship and we can suffer for righteousness' sake because of what we know Christ has done for us. And C.S. Lewis once said, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. Oftentimes we try to supplement our hard lives by adding in things that we think may give us joy, whether it's hanging out with friends or going and doing fun things. We can't have peace without God, and especially from sin. We may be able to supplement things from worrying and the stress, but when it comes to our sin and the war that we face with that conflict can only be solved by peace from God. Peace from worry and stress can be found in God and his grace, and on a bigger picture, peace from our conflict and war with sin we fight every day, that peace can only be found in God. So if you are in that pathway of ruin and misery that it talks about in Romans 3, then I encourage you to seek out the way of peace that it also talks about, because only God can make you complete. So think about that. When you're worrying, think about the peace that you can have, meditate on it, and dwell on it, and God will protect you, and God will make you complete, and will keep you in his care.